The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Hello, hello, hello. We are so happy that you're with us on Our Urban Story this beautiful, beautiful March 31st Saturday. And we just hope that you will enjoy the show. Miss Diamond, do you want to say hello to our listeners?
Yes, everyone. Yes, it's March 31st, 2018, the day before Easter, which
yes.
is tomorrow, April 1st. Passover began last night at sunset, if I'm not mistaken, and it goes on for a few days, so we want to wish a happy Passover to our Jewish brothers and sisters.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we have a few things to talk to you about today. First, I want to give you the call-in number so that you can let your voice be heard. The number is 973-925-4559. And on, I have a sad note to share with you. On Wednesday, March 29th, which is 2 days ago, March 29th, my brother passed away, my younger brother, and, we'll be leaving hopefully tomorrow and going to Florida for the final farewell to him. So, and all of my Facebook people and friends who have called me, I want to shout out and tell you I appreciate every word, every kind expression of condolences. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. It was a loss to the family, and we hope and pray that other people who have gone through, it's very hard. And I mean, death of anyone in your family, it's rather hard, and just keep us in your prayers. I want to just touch on, we talked about Passover, and most of us know about Passover, but the story of an 85-year-old woman who survived the Holocaust caught my attention, and it actually went viral this past week. Marielle Knoll survived the Holocaust. She was almost sent to a death camp, Auschwitz. She was murdered this past week in Paris.
Yes, how sad.
And it's stunning that this lady managed to survive the worst genocidal campaign in human history, but with few exceptions, only to be murdered in Paris a few days ago by Muslims as they were murdering this woman who suffered from Alzheimer's, from what I understand. They were shouting Allahu Akbar. Sadly, she is not the only Jewish woman to have been targeted by Islamists in France. France has an anti-Semitism problem. Europe has it overall. And until they address this anti-Semitism head on, Jewish people overall will not be safe in Europe. And I don't think we'll have a repeat of what happened during World War II, because thank God the Nazi war machine was dismantled by the Allies, and I would say primarily by the United Kingdom, the United States, and Russia. So thank God we don't have to fear that. But we do have to fear a culture, Islamists who are bred in a culture of anti-Semitism. And when we say Islamists, it's in the context generally of radical Muslims, but even in the Quran, even if you're not a radical Muslim, Jews are not spoken of very well in the Quran, which is the holiest book in Islam. So there is a concern that the Islamic culture is breeding a lot of anti-Semites, and a number of whom are willing to murder innocent Jews.
Well, they're breeding a lot of people who just hate people who don't worship Allah. That includes the Jews, but it also includes people of the book. In their Quran, they specifically mention people of the book. And I can't recall offhand what surah it is exactly. I'm not sure if it's 941. Please don't quote me. But I've read in the Quran that no one has a right to worship anyone other than Allah. So that's why it fits perfectly with their ideology, to slaughter Jews, slaughter anyone who is not of their same ilk.
Right.
So, I mean, that is so sad for the woman to survive such a horrific time in history and then be slaughtered.
Yep.
Like that, you know. I mean, there aren't any words to describe it. You know, there are no words to describe it.
Absolutely.
I was impressed with something I saw on Breitbart. And it says, the Christian origins of America's constitutional republic. And I just want to read one little paragraph. Mm-hmm. Three key theological concepts from the Protestant Reformation of the 16th and 17th centuries. Congregational self-governance, the conventional nature of the relationship between man and God, and the free will of individuals to choose, eventually found expression in political philosophy and formed the basis for notions of popular sovereignty and self-governance that our founders used in writing and approving the Declaration of Independence in 1776 and the Constitution between 1787 and 1789. And I hope all of you remember that. When people try to say that America was not founded on Judeo-Christian values, which we go back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims, they found this land, they came to this land, I should say, and, you know, we know the Native Indians, we hear, for religious freedom. They did not want their worship to be controlled by the Church of England. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for anyone that says we don't have any sort of godly, biblical beginnings, I just wanted to read that to you, and please let it stick in your mind, and all you have to do is go to Breitbart and print out a copy for yourself.
Absolutely. Well, the Christian origins of this nation, from what I can gather and understand, is part and parcel of our constitutional document.
That's what I just said
in here. This country
is
founded on Judeo-Christian values.
That's right.
Whether you are a Christian, whether you are a Jew, or whether you are an atheist.
That's correct.
If you want to be accurate about American history, you have to acknowledge the Judeo-Christian foundings of this country.
If you can muster any truth in your statements.
Right, exactly. If there are some liberals who want to turn that on its head, but that is part of American history and really cannot be denied if you want to be taken seriously as a historian.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. You know, and unfortunately, you know, some people try to distort everything. And just like, you know, some people say, well, we needed prayer out of school. We don't need the Ten Commandments, because some people become offended. Well, if they are offended by what made this country great, they are offended that God blessed this nation, then they shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. Because this is how we started. Right. This is what made us great. This is why you want to come here. And if Judeo-Christian values offend you, then really this is not the land for you to be in.
Absolutely. And this is not, you don't come to Rome and tell the Romans how they should change their culture to fit what you want and what you need. You do with going to Rome, you do as Romans do. You come into the United States, you should fit into the American culture. This is not a culture shaped by Islamic law, Sharia law, in any form
Absolutely.
Or fashion. We wouldn't have pork barbecue joints in about every city of the United States. We wouldn't have millions of songs you can download from Amazon or Apple, because music is forbidden under Sharia law. You wouldn't have at least 100 million dogs in the United States. So clearly we were not shaped by Islam at all. So if you are in the United States, you should assimilate as much as you can, because that there is strength in our numbers and there is a distinct American culture. Some of it may not be great or good, but it is ours and it's something that we can work on to improve. I want to step back, though, talking about anti-Semitism in the Islamic culture. Last week, we mentioned that one of the good parts of the omnibus bill is that the Taylor Force Act was passed as part of this omnibus bill.
Uh-huh, right.
Yes, the Taylor Force Act was named after an Army vet named Taylor Force from South Carolina. Lindsey Graham was one of the sponsors of it. And he was murdered by Palestinians over in that in the Palestinian Arab area near Israel. And so I'm very glad that the United States has stepped up its effort to freeze payments to the Palestinians who are paying, literally paying, terrorists to murder innocent Jews and Americans. And that is unacceptable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to, you know, stop with all of this political correctness. I really enjoy Haley at the UN, Nikki Haley, because she doesn't take any stuff. She doesn't believe in being politically correct. And they're putting the gauntlet down on some of these terrorists murdering heads of these murderous, demonically controlled, I believe, nations, and that sit at those tables. They don't like Israel. They don't like freedom. They don't like many of the things that people should be able to enjoy in a free society. And I'm just so happy that we have a new sheriff in town who's appointing people that will not roll over, beg for foreign countries' approval, and do what's right, not only for us in this country, by saving us dollars that shouldn't be going to people who are killing people, but also returning the dignity that should be representative of the United States of America.
Absolutely. We have to be real with our foreign policy. I think appointing John Bolton as National Security Advisor is a very good start. And I thank President Trump for doing that. We have to face facts, not be politically correct, and make sure that we are not taking taxpayers' dollars to pay for terrorists who murder
Absolutely.
Innocent Jews and Americans. That is reprehensible. The Palestinian Authority has blood on its hands.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that we are at least addressing it at some level with the Taylor Force Act, who served this country and who was brutally
right.
murdered while visiting the Middle East.
And I don't even think we can apply or appeal to their conscience, because remember, Osama bin Laden, he said that his culture, you know, didn't mind death, and, you know, we were a culture that, you know, we were afraid of death. So they're bloodthirsty for the most part. And unfortunately, they're training their people to be bloodthirsty for anyone and toward anyone that does not fall down and worship their God, Allah, 7th century God, Allah.
Absolutely. I just want to touch on the story regarding Laura Ingraham, or Ingraham, however you want to pronounce it,
mm-hmm.
conservative talk show host, a longtime fixture on the radio, and then she recently became a member of the Fox News family. Well, she has a show on Fox News Channel. She is a victim right now. I call her a victim of some boycott and people trying to push her off the air because she criticized David Hogg, who is a 17-year-old. I guess he considers himself a leader of the students of that shooting down in Parkland, Florida. He's been vulgar. He's been very disrespectful of gun owners, and he complained that he was changing the world and the University of California at UCLA wouldn't let him in or didn't admit him, and Laura Ingraham criticized him. Well, as a result of that, he's called for a boycott of Laura Ingraham, and some advertisers have pulled out, and Laura Ingraham is now taking a vacation break during this controversy. My thoughts are this, you know, if you believe in what you said, stand by it. We have a call coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Hi, caller. You're on the air? Not yet. Well, while we get her or him on the air, let me continue.
Hello, caller. Are you on the air?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
And your name is?
My name is Rudy Tisdale.
Oh, thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, thank you so much for calling Our Urban Story. And do you have a question for us, or you'd like to express something?
Yes, I do have a question for you. I just want to know, how do you feel, or how do you think that the immigration reform is going?
Well, I think there needs to be a tightening up. I think our president, you know, he got a bag of mixed loopholes that's still allowing illegal immigrants to enter our country, and they're getting through on the unaccompanied minors program, that loophole. Many MS-13 gang members are coming in, and they're being dispersed to different counties. Like in Nassau County in New York, 116 have been dispersed. Queens County, 279. Suffolk County, and all of these are in New York, 186. So I think that I know that our president needs to pay attention to this unaccompanied minors program that is bringing in more criminals than we need to have in our land. So we need to tighten that up. It's my opinion.
And do you think he's going to look at that in this term or this election?
I believe he will, because this is very crucial. And, you know, we have an attorney general who's trying to focus on the MS-13 gang members and incarcerate them and also send them back to their countries. And, you know, this administration is fighting in the courts because they wanted to restrict some people from some countries who are, you know, hostile countries from coming into this land. And, you know, we've had some losses in that area because many liberal judges are sitting on those benches. But he's trying to protect us from terrorism to the best of his ability. He's also trying to protect us from these MS-13 gang members.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Good to know.
Yes, yes. We have to keep praying, and we have to keep, on Twitter and remind him, please, we know that your hands are full. We know that your plate is full, but these issues are very important to us. And build that wall.
That's right. Build that wall.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Please do call again and tell your friends and family that we're here on Our Urban Story. Have a blessed Easter. Thank you.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye now. That was a very pleasant call and a very important subject that she was concerned about. And we should all be concerned about, because this is our country. We are a sovereign nation. We need that wall. We need our immigration rules and laws enforced. And we want this administration to, you know, remember the promises of the campaign. And I do believe he's a man of his word. Plus, we know that he likes to accomplish things. So we have to keep up the support and not lose focus of what we need and what we want in America.
Absolutely. Excellent call. Thank you, caller. That was a very good dialogue.
Very good.
Thank you for bringing up such a crucial issue. Now, let me return to Laura Ingram. I listened to her show. I don't know if I'm a huge fan of anyone, to be honest, but I generally like Laura Ingram, and I feel very strongly that if she felt this was something that she would cave on or she would apologize for, maybe it's something she should not have done. Maybe she shouldn't have made any comments about David Hogg. My personal opinion about the 17-year-old is I think he's kind of a jerk. And I say that because, and I think he's harming the gun control movement, because if you want average Americans to listen to you and to consider gun control, then don't curse out the people or act like you are know-it-all. And disrespect the people who own guns. Show them respect and make your argument in a persuasive manner. But you don't go on and basically curse out the people who are members of the NRA or others who are not members of the National Rifle Association, but who happen to own guns. I think he has harmed, in my opinion, the gun control movement. And you know how teenagers are. He's 17. He thinks he knows more. And generally, teenagers think they know more than the average adult. And also, they had another prominent young student, Emma Gonzalez, whatever her name is, and she admitted to bullying Nicholas Cruz. And she was at the march on Washington they had last Saturday wearing a Fidel Castro symbol. So, I mean, what are we teaching these young people? I mean, she admitted to bullying the murderer, Nicholas Cruz. That doesn't excuse him slaughtering 17 people. But they're going to tell us they want us to give up our guns. And what are they being taught that she thinks she should could honor Fidel Castro by putting his symbol or something on her jacket.
Well, you gave some very, you know, nice thoughts about, what's his name, David Hogg. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think he's a heathen. And his parents should be totally ashamed of what they have produced, because he's 17 years old, and if he has a filthy mouth like that, I wouldn't even probably want to be around his parents. Mm. You know, we're supposed to bring up our children to be, you know, dignified, polite, whatever. Mm-hmm. And at 17, he doesn't even know what in the heck he's talking about. If he reached my age and had to go through a gun battle like I had to go through, mm-hmm. my brother, who is now deceased, would not have lived until March the 29th. If I did not, if I froze like, number one, those Parkland people with the guns, my brother, who just passed away, would not have survived, mm-hmm. because I had to run to my car after being shot, mm-hmm. to retrieve my pistol, my legally owned pistol, to stop a murderer from killing my brother, mm-hmm. and taking another shot before I was able to give my brother the gun, holler for a shotgun, and then the coward then decided he wanted to give up, because my mother drove up, and I was asking her for a shotgun, because then I could even score. He had a Glock, and I had a .22 at hollow point bullets. So this young man doesn't even know what survival is, what self-defense is. He's never been in a situation like I have faced. You know, a real-time situation. And all of this is outlined in my book. But he's a disrespectful person with such a filthy mouth. And that young lady is part of that also. You know, it's sad that parents are not raising children who are decent and contributors to society. They are running off at the mouth, insulting people, and they have filthy mouths. Laura Ingraham should never have folded.
No,
and another thing, I'm calling for we the people to boycott any product that pulls their support from someone that we believe should be allowed to voice their opinion. We the people have the power to make or break some of these companies. We the people have the power to put some of these actors and actresses back in the pasture. We the people have to stop spending our money with these people who will not support conservative thought, decent thought, American values. Now it's up to we the people.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to go to break in about 2 or 3 minutes. We have a little time, but I want to talk about the blessing of Easter and what it means. But you're absolutely right. I think Laura Ingraham should not have folded.
No.
Because that makes her more vulnerable. And my thoughts are she should be at this point financially secure. So if she loses a few advertisers, even if she loses the show, it shouldn't put her in a position where she's financially desperate. Stand on your principles. And if you weren't able to do that, maybe you shouldn't have gone after David Hogg. Although, in my opinion, he deserves it. He's acting like a jerk.
He's acting like a heathen.
They're acting like the Second Amendment
yes.
is something that can just be tossed out of the Constitution. Our founding fathers didn't agree to the Second Amendment on willy-nilly terms. It was due to the fact that when America wanted its independence from England, we saw how the English militia came in and they could go into the civilians' homes.
Absolutely.
They could take over during the Revolutionary War. So it was very important to our founding fathers that we have the right to bear arms. It is almost sacrosanct in American culture that we bear arms. Now,
but
we have to be... Oh, absolutely, please.
Can I just say this?
Yes.
And the thing about it is I don't see any of them marching into some of these gang territories and telling them to surrender their guns.
Good point.
They will not. And the only people, if that happened, God forbid that we surrendered our guns, law-abiding citizens, mm-hmm. the only people that would be armed and dangerous would be the criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Criminals don't obey laws. That's
Absolutely.
Why they are criminals.
Absolutely.
Why don't they talk about the 50,000 people that die, Americans that die each year because of drug abuse? Oh, maybe they're using some of those drugs too. Maybe that's why they don't want to talk about it. What about the many thousands of people that are killed by drunk drivers?
Mm-hmm.
What about that? What about strangulation?
Mm-hmm.
What about poisonings. Mm-hmm. Are you going to march against all of these things? And what about knife-wielding maniacs? Mm-hmm. Right now, we're getting ready to go for a break. Please stay tuned and stay with us on Our Urban Story.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Call free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait-and-switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now. And now, back to the program, DDVRadio.com.
And here we are back on Our Urban Story, and this is Barbara from Harlem. Miss Diamond, what do you have to share with our listeners?
Well, some of you may know that in Gaza right now, Hamas is on the border of Israel, provoking Israel. And, well, I don't know if it's unfortunate, to be honest, but 12 Palestinians, Arabs, have been killed. And I say, and I do care about human life, but if you're provoking war and if you're trying to kill innocent Jewish people, you deserve to be killed in turn. So they're doing this to provoke Israel into a full-scale war. Israel will prevail. I think it's foolish for Hamas to do this. Hamas controls the Gaza Strip. Israel turned over the Gaza Strip on the pushing or the urging of George W. Bush, the son.
Which I think it's wrong.
And I remember that clearly. It was in August 2005, over 10 years ago. And that was around the same time that New Orleans, Louisiana, got flooded.
That's
so
correct.
I don't know if the two are connected, but I know it happened. But I pray for Israel's safety as they are celebrating. We are celebrating the Passover. It's the holiest time really on the Jewish calendar, and it coincides with Easter, which is the holiest day on the Christian calendar. Now, I know some people say, well, Easter is a pagan holiday. It does come from some kind of Roman whatever, but overall the focus of Easter is on the Good Friday. We began Friday with Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and on the third day, which will be Easter tomorrow, he rose. And that's very important, regardless of the origins of Easter and the word Easter. The fact is, Jesus became the Passover lamb for all. For all. For all time and for all mankind, if we accept him. So that's the importance of Easter.
Well, I call it, yes, Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, for people who want to pick and poke, well, this didn't mean this, did, you know, those people are very sad because they don't pick and poke when it comes to things that they might read in the newspaper, things they might read from another belief system or whatever. But they're always picking and poking at what Christians do and Christian beliefs. And I say, you know, it is a sacred time of the year. It is one of the most sacred times of the year. And it's Resurrection Sunday. For those of you who have embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this should make a big difference on this day in remembrance of him, remembering the sacrifice that he made for you and for me. You know, that's one of the things that I can truly say about my brother. He embraced Christ. He had his dark days, but thank God when the light of Christ came into his life, his whole life changed. And I'm very proud of that. So, you know, I salute and, you know, give honor to our Jewish brothers and sisters who are celebrating the Passover, and may they have a wonderful Passover. I have some very good people who are of that faith. And to me, the beauty about what they believe, what I believe, is that we're not directed to cutting anyone's head off or saying that unless you are a Christian or a Jew, you don't deserve to live. There is a big difference in what we believe and what we practice and what they believe and what they'll do to those who don't worship Allah.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a very critical difference to point out.
Yes, it is.
Because people, again, and we've talked about this before, people will say, well, what about the violence in the Bible and specifically the Old Testament? And as we have said before, the violence or the battles in the Old Testament are in a historical context.
Can I just say this?
Please.
Yes. Also, you know, people who are that picky, nicky, and all of this sort of stuff want to find a reason to criticize Christianity. They know that nothing in that Bible tells us to go out and smite the unbelievers. Nothing in that Bible tells us to go out and cut anyone's head off, tells us to take airplanes and ram them into buildings and kill innocent people. Nothing in that Bible. So, you know, if you run into a person like that, why waste your time? Because their heart is so hardened and their neck is so stiff that they don't want truth anyway.
No, absolutely. And the difference between the Old Testament, as we said before, and the Quran is that the text in the Quran is written in an open-ended manner. So if you're a Muslim in the year 1400, or if you're a Muslim in the year 2018.
That's right. That's right.
And if it's smite the neck, that's written in present tense form. So with the battles in the Bible, they're in historical context. It was at this battle for this time, Joshua and whomever else went against the Canaanites. There is violence in the Old Testament, but it's part of the historical picture that we need. And we learn from these lessons that when the Jews obeyed God, they were victorious. When they disobeyed God, they were not victorious. Yes.
And you know the thing, I don't even like to compare the Bible with the Quran, because we must remember that in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy, it says that the Bible was breathed out by God. And remember, the Quran came in the 7th century, and it was written primarily by Muhammad, and some say he was illiterate, and he had people to write down what he said he got from the angel. So to me, there's no comparison. There are no archaeological evidences to prove anything in that Quran, but the Bible is totally different, as we saw on our trip to Israel in 2008, where the Bible comes alive. You see the old synagogues, the remnants of the old synagogues, of the old stadiums. We went to the Dead Sea. Mm-hmm. We went to where the caves, where the scrolls were found.
Right, Masada.
Masada, that's right.
Dead Sea Scrolls, yes.
And there is no evidence, no record of any miracles that were performed by the founder of that belief system. And that was the 7th century. The 1st century, the church was already established. So I never make a comparison between the two. I mean, but
no,
different
that's,
people
that's very,
do that.
That's very
because
good. Very good
you
point.
Know, that to me is insulting to the Bible.
It is a very good point. The Quran is not written on the level of the Bible.
No, it's not.
The Bible covers history. It covers
poetry. Yes, it does.
It covers emotions. It covers miracles, prophecies. So the Bible is a different book from the Quran.
Totally.
Another huge difference is the Bible will give you battles, people, and places.
And it's affixed to history.
Yes. So you can take a Bible scripture when it says in Exodus or whatever book, and it says that the Hebrews fought the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and it tells you about Damascus. Right. And we know that Damascus exists today. It is the capital of Syria.
And Philistine.
Right.
Which is Philistine.
Right. And if you look in the first book of Esther, verse 1, it mentions the country of India, which still exists today.
That's correct.
Paul wrote about Spain in the New Testament, which we know exists today.
Asia Minor. Yes.
So the Bible is provable. It's verifiable. And archaeologists, if you notice, ladies and gentlemen, when archaeologists do studies, to the best of my knowledge, they never challenge the Quran. Because there's really, when you think about it, not only are they afraid of Muslims for challenging the Quran, the accuracy of it, but there's nothing in there to challenge.
Nothing to challenge.
What did Muhammad say that we could measure and weigh and see if it's verifiable? Nothing. Muhammad said, I can do no miracles. He couldn't do miracles like Jesus. Where are the prophecies in the Quran?
None.
And they're non-existent. So you really can't verify, honestly, the accuracy of the Quran.
Well, you know, it's just a sad place that we're in. And I guess, until this is resolved finally in the final days, where the Palestinians are harassing the Israelis, they will not prevail. That's number one. Number two, you know, they are so diabolical. That's the only word I can think of. And they have their ideology is so dark, dismal, and dangerous. You know, because why would you provoke people? Why are you so upset that these people exist? You know, that is insanity, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. That you're going to be so upset that these kind of people, Jewish people, exist, that you spend your time training your children to die to kill innocent people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they've stopped that funding. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll stop the darkness that has overwhelmed those people, mm-hmm. but I'm so glad that they stopped the funding, and I'm so glad that Israel knows that they can't pay attention to the UN in particular, has to defend themselves. And with all of the wonderful inventions, wartime inventions, I believe they'll wipe them off the face of the map.
Well, Israel's very powerful.
Very.
Israel's very technologically advanced.
Very much so.
It's considered by some to be the eighth most important country in the world. Out of a nation, there are over 180 nations, if I'm not mistaken. And Israel, some estimate, is about the size of New Jersey.
Very small.
It is very, very important. They will be celebrating their 70th year of the refounding of Israel, because Israel's been around for thousands of years.
Before the United States was even thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to read a few passages, if you don't mind, from John 20.
Can I just say this before you do? You know, I just pray that whatever happens over there, that people here will not start saying, well, they need to work on peace. They're calling for peace. It's hard, and I think impossible, to make peace with someone who wants you dead. What do you do? How do you appease them?
True.
Do you give them an arm? Do you give them a leg? Do you give them your eye?
Yep.
If they just want you dead, you know, the Bible says live in peace as much as it is possible with all men. So when it says as much as it is possible, that means it's not always possible. That's what I get from it. And I'm sorry for interrupting you, but please go right ahead.
No, that's fine. I'm just going to read a few passages from John 20. At this point, Jesus had been crucified, and then he rose again. And I'm going to start at verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master.
All right now.
Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not descended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.
Amen.
Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. And I will end it there. I read from John 20, and I ended at verse 18. I just wanted to talk and touch on the blessings of Easter. Without the sacrifice of the Lord, where would we be? Jesus became, as I said earlier, the ultimate Passover lamb. And we know the story of Passover as Jews were preparing to leave Egypt.
Amen.
And it is so important for us to accept the sacrifice of Yeshua. And that's his Hebrew name. We say Jesus. But Yeshua's sacrifice is the ultimate sacrifice. And he became the Passover lamb for the entire world.
And you know, America has been blessed by not just the sacrifice, but the blessings of heaven. There is no way that this country, with its short history, could have prospered, could have made the advancements that they made without the blessings of God. So I know that there are those who may be listening who don't believe. I know that's possible. But I'm always reminded that our former presidents, George Washington in particular and Abraham Lincoln, did not forget about the providential hand of God in the makings and workings of America. And I will not let people forget it. You know, I spoke, you know, last month someplace. And then afterwards, you know, somebody came up to me and said, you know, you mentioned God, you know, and there are some people in here who might not, you know, believe. Well, that's part of who I am. That's my makeup. Because without the blessings of God, America, I wouldn't be here in America. And to me, the greatest nation in the world. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you're offended, you need to close your ears, because that's all I know is God blessed America. God is even in our rebellion against him, because we have elected people who are totally godless, and they let you know that they're godless. And then even church going people go and pull the lever for them anyway, out of loyalty to a party, loyalty to how to the messages that they receive from the media, loyalty to their family, loyalty to their race, and they forget about being loyal to God. So we have a lot of things in this country that need to be straightened out. We need to bring God back into the public square for our blessings to continue and for our families to be healed. Because you mentioned it last week about the fatherless generation. You look in the prison system, look at how many of them don't even know their fathers. Look anywhere in society, and we have broken people who haven't been told that they can come and understand, embrace Resurrection Sunday, and be made whole.
Absolutely. And it all comes together, because it really all begins and ends with God.
It does.
And it's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it really does, because when you move away from God, God is the nucleus. He is the key. When you move away from God, then you see more of the broken homes, which leads to a broken society. And the society in too many of our neighborhoods just are not working. There are too many unfathered children.
Yes.
And boys most certainly need their fathers. Girls at least have their mothers.
They need their fathers too.
Absolutely. Girls need their father and their mother. But at least girls have the mother to model herself after. Boys don't have that. And so they end up looking up to the drug dealer, to the gangbanger in their immediate neighborhood, because that's what they're exposed to.
And they want validation. And they want significance. And they want to be loved. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. So, see, that's the family that God created, the father and the mother. I'm sorry that I don't have it in front of me, but I saw a report that one of our soldiers was killed in Syria. Don't have his name or anything, but, you know, God knows his name and who he is. So we need to, you know, pray for our soldiers, pray for their safety, and, you know, pray for those families that are suffering loss. You know, we have a fantastic military. And from what I understand, and I don't quite understand it, how will the money come from the military to build that wall? And when will we get the money from Mexico to reimburse us? Mm-hmm. Do you know those answers?
I don't know them as yet. Absolutely.
Well,
not.
My friends, we have to keep on looking and keep on praying into that, because he kept telling us Mexico was going to pay for it. And I believe that they should pay for it. You know,
well, if Mexico is going to have a porous border, Mexico is rather hypocritical to me, because Mexico has a very stringent immigration law. Not anyone can just immigrate and particularly become a citizen of Mexico, from what I understand. And yet they expect America to absorb all these immigrants. And it's weighing down on our school system, on our hospitals.
Definitely.
Particularly in border states, states on the border, and states like California and New York are particularly hit hard. So, I mean, you know, Mexico can whine and complain, but that's because they want us to let in a lot of their own people. So what they do is they work in the United States and send money back to Mexico and to Ecuador and all these other
countries. We're supporting their government.
There was an estimate that in 2016, $25 billion, I don't even know if that's the right number exactly, but $25 billion was sent back to like Mexico and to South America from these immigrants who have come to the United States. So that's part of their gross domestic product, in my opinion, receiving money that their people are receiving while working illegally in many cases in the United States. They work illegally here and then send the money back to Mexico or wherever else. And that's really draining our system to take care of their country. And that's not really fair.
No, it's not fair at all, you know. And I think that we're going to have these issues addressed, you know. I was startled when I saw that the Pope says that there's no hell. The Vatican says it's a misquote but won't disavow. You know, confusion, confusion, confusion. There is hell.
I don't think this is a good pope. I don't think this is a pope who is steeped in the knowledge of the Bible. I really think that...
Not at all.
The council who elected him as pope made a mistake. I hope that he retires soon. He is not really bound to the Bible.
No,
he's
not.
His allegiance is not to the Bible. It's more political than anything else. Because to say there's no hell, that's not based on accurate information. It's certainly not based on the Bible.
It contradicts the Bible.
Absolutely.
So, for those of you who are Catholic, you know, sorry about the criticism, but once again, we must be real about it. You know, some of the things he has said have been outrageous.
Yeah.
He sounds more like a socialist.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So that's not very encouraging. What else do we want to talk about?
Very quickly.
Yes.
Stephon Clark, a black man. I think I have his name right.
Okay.
Stephon Clark. An independent autopsy shows that he was shot by police in his back at least 6 times.
Oh,
now,
no.
I just want to put this in the brief time that we have into some context. There have been a number of shootings of African-American men by police. We know... that it has happened, but what I think we need to do is not paint a broad brush of the police. A lot of them are working in dangerous areas. We don't have all the facts. We don't have all the information, but I think we need to be careful. I believe this is a case out of Sacramento, California. This young black man was killed by the police. But let's keep our heads. We don't need to riot. We don't need to tear up the streets in order to get justice. And we have to understand, listen, let's hear all the facts. Let it go through. Let it be adjudicated. Let's see what really happened. Because I think what happens is the fans get flamed by the media, by people like Al Sharpton and others.
Because they want
and
to.
We need to understand what really happened. We should not paint the police as all bad.
That's right.
We need the police in these urban areas desperately. And the fact of the matter is, more black men are killed by other black men than any other group. Now, excuse any bad police officers.
It does not. And they don't say a word about black-on-black crime.
Absolutely.
I don't hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even hear anything close to it. And I pray that, if he was shot in the back, that's going to be hard to explain. But we don't need any riots. We don't need, because you don't riot when you find these teachers molesting these children.
Right.
And once again, you don't riot to decrease the use, the demand for drugs in your community. Mm-hmm. So let's be patient. Just like with George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. Everyone jumped, most people jumped to a conclusion mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. the facts were there. Let's learn how to use that brain that God gave us to analyze things before we jump to conclusions. If they were wrong, I mean, I really feel very bad for the family. And if they were wrong, thank God you live in a country where they will not go unpunished.
Absolutely.
In other third world countries, that nothing would be done.
Right.
You couldn't hold anyone accountable.
Right.
The people in authority will tell you to shut up and you might get killed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So thank God we do have laws in this land.
Absolutely.
And they will be held accountable.
Yeah, this case will will be unraveled.
Absolutely.
Not unraveled in a bad way, but we will uncover the truth, I
absolutely.
Should say. So you're absolutely right. In other countries,
that's correct.
You would have no rights. Now, I just want to touch on before we close that in South Africa, a number of white farmers are
yes.
being killed. And I know South Africa
yes,
has
are.
A history of apartheid, but two wrongs do not make a right. The blacks in South Africa should not be murdering the white farmers in South Africa. They should work this out. That does not solve anything. That does not advance the cause of black South Africans. And it's shameful. And many whites have been there for hundreds of years.
They've been there a long time.
It's been a long time.
And they've developed those lands
and
created jobs and stuff.
Right. Right, exactly. So I just wanted to bring that up.
That's barbaric.
That is barbaric.
That's
for them
right.
to be going around and murdering white South African farmers. We are closing.
Can I just get
Barbara.
One thing in? You know, like a lot of people, black people, keep talking about slavery. It was slavery that translated us here to this land. Look what's going on in that land. And the Africans are trying to get, many of them are trying to get out. God bless you. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. And this is our Urban Story.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Call free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait-and-switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored. And and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now.